What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Tires matter. They're the only part of your vehicle that touches the road. Tread confidently with new tires from Tire Rack. Whether you're looking for expert recommendations or know exactly what you want, Tire Rack makes it easy. Fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and convenient installation options. Go to TireRack.com to see tire test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all the special offers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
3, 2, 1. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we're joined by Paul Anier. Did I say your name right, Paul? Paul Anier.
Yep, you get it. There. You get it right every time.
Hey, man. Yeah. That's great because the last guy he had, the last guy I talked to on one of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, his name was like all consonants, and I didn't know how to say it, so I just let him say it, and I don't even try. No. I don't even try on some of these names. So, Paul, man, we're going to have a fun turkey hunting gear conversation today, and the information that you are about to hear is from two guys who are not so serious about turkey hunting. And so I think I'm going to title this episode like Not So Serious Turkey Hunting Gear or something along those lines. Is that cool?
That's pretty accurate. Cause yeah, I'm not a super hardcore turkey hunter. Like I go, but yeah. I was in track throughout high school and college then, and I could hardly turkey hunt at all. And so, yeah, I'm not an expert turkey hunter. So that is a perfect title.
What has your turkey hunting experience been throughout your life?
So, yeah, like I said, I started out turkey hunting as a young kid. Like my dad, super into hunting. I grew up on like 100 acres basically, so I always went turkey hunting. Mm-hmm. And my dad would always take me and stuff like that, but I absolutely hated getting up so early in the morning for turkey hunting. I struggled with that really bad when I was 12 13 14 15, whatever that age was. Like I did the whole learn to hunt program, even though my dad could have done it all himself. He just wanted me to like get that social aspect of hunting with turkeys and stuff. So yep. I did that, and I remember coming. I was like getting super impatient. I think I was probably 12 or 13. And I remember telling my mentor, like, I'm like ready, you know, ready to go or whatever. And, you know, he looks at his watch. He's like, well, it's, you know, 6:45. We should probably stay out here a little longer, you know? So I just remember my first memory is just being super impatient as a turkey hunter. Yep. And then obviously, well, I didn't have any early success, so that didn't help. I don't know what it was. I mean, I went plenty of times and, you know, we stuck it out and, but never had early success. And then I got into high school and I was really into track and I went to, University of Wisconsin for track. And so I was obviously took that really serious and I, you know, getting up super early and then trying to, you know, still do sports and all that just wasn't really conducive for track and field. So I never really hunted hard in high school. And then I did Division I track. I redshirted, so I did that for 5 years, and then all of a sudden I graduated from college, and then I kind of got into it a little bit more once I got married and before we had kids, and had I've had like some success since then, but really, I mean, I've only shot like a handful of turkeys, so yeah. For people that are like new turkey hunters, this will be pretty good because I can learn right alongside everybody else.
Right.
I mean, I love it, like when it happens and when a turkey finally commits and you get one, it's an awesome. Truly an awesome feeling. Like it's just as addicting to me as it is bow hunting. It's just I haven't had as much success like turkey hunting as I have hunting whitetails. So
yeah.
I'm a pretty novice turkey hunter. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny because I didn't start turkey hunting until I got a picture on the wall over there of me next to my uncle. 2001 is when I shot
okay.
my first turkey. So I would have been 20 years old, 20 or 21 years old, right around there.
Yep.
And that was my first hunting experience was pretty sweet, to be honest with you, because I went with my uncles and they showed me the ropes right away. And we didn't do yep. any of this blind type hunting that some people, you know, get raised up. It is prop your butt against a tree, call.
Yep.
If they don't come in, get closer, call, move. And you're just playing chess all day long with these birds.
Yep.
And we didn't really do mornings or afternoons or anything like that. We would go. And then when they started to roost, that's when we would leave, right? We'd locate them and then we'd leave. And man, we would take naps out in the woods, right? I mean, it was nothing like cutthroat at all, but if the turkeys yep. would stop calling, we'd chill, maybe go back to the truck, eat a sandwich, you know, crack some beers or whatever. And then we would, you know, go out, try to hit it again, hit the afternoon. But man, I remember having so much fun doing that because time was not an issue. I didn't have any place to be other than in the woods. And so mm-hmm. I was just that to me is what turkey hunting is really all about. Being mobile, being in woods, playing that game with them. And sometimes it can be frustrating, but sometimes it can be really fun.
Yeah, I agree because and I grew up the same way. We didn't use blinds at all. Mm-hmm. Like my dad, he was a minimalist and still is. Mm-hmm. Like he's not a hunting technology guy. So when he helps me with trail cameras and stuff, he's actually pretty good with it. But it's just funny because he's a total minimalist. So I grew up, yep, leaning up against big oak trees, mm-hmm. like that same type of thing, run and gun them. Oh, they're over here. Okay, let's get up and move. And yeah, with turkey hunting, I enjoy it because I just love being in the spring woods, hearing things come alive and seeing things grow and you know, watch fawns or whatever while you're out in early May and stuff like that. And for people like me and you who are kind of like quote unquote in the industry, it's a little more low key and less pressure, right? Mm-hmm. We put this stupid pressure on ourselves to kill whitetails and I'm trying to get over it. It's the dumbest thing ever, right?
Yeah.
And so turkey, for me is just more of like just fun, you know, hey, I'll take my 8-year-old son out with me. And okay, if you're impatient, okay, we'll just go home.
Yeah.
Like I'll go back out at 1 o'clock and probably still have just as good a chance to kill one at 1 o'clock as I would at, you know, 5:30 right off the roost or something like
right.
that. Like it's just different for me and for like you and I and hardcore whitetail hunters who just don't take it as serious. And so it's a little bit more, I guess, enjoyable just to kind of like let your hair down per se, and just relax and be in the woods and enjoy it for what it is. Whereas in the fall, you're freezing cold, you're not seeing stuff, like two ridges over, the rut could be just crazy and you're not seeing anything like that. Yeah. That gets to me, and it shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah.
And I came home real cranky a couple times last fall. And like my wife is like,
what did I do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then she'll like put you in your place and be like, what are you even having fun?
Yeah.
No, actually I'm not having fun. And for some reason, you know, I got to change that. So for that reason, I guess turkey hunting is really enjoyable. It's just go out and have fun. You know?
Yeah. I look at, okay, so my daughter's in wrestling, right? And I can kind of, like, I really like going deer hunting, right? I do enjoy it. But when I'm in what I call kill mode, and that's that, that's that vacation space, that's not really like when I go out a weekend in October or something like that. But when I say, okay, work is done, family's done, I'm going into kill mode right now. That is when my mind kind of shifts a little bit and it becomes a different type of fun. The fun comes just like when my daughter was explaining how she doesn't like wrestling. She likes wrestling, but she doesn't like wrestling practice because obviously wrestling practice is extremely difficult. And but she does like wrestling in these tournaments and things. And so I kind of look at it this way, where the long sits, the extreme cold temperatures or the extreme hot temperatures or wind or snow or rain, that's not that, honestly, that's not that fun going through some of that stuff. But the moment that big buck steps out and he's walking right towards you, that's when all the fun happens in like a 1 minute window. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. No, it's like, did the Kansas City Chiefs have much fun this year during their regular season? No, probably not.
Yeah.
But come playoffs, like you said, they got it. They, you know, as like a sports comparison, they got in kill mode and they won the freaking Super Bowl. Like, it's the same thing. Like, you could have just absolute 3-4 days of like knockdown, drag out, just complete crap hunting where you're just dragging yourself out of bed, trying to find reasons to keep going. And then all of a sudden, it happens and you win your quote unquote Super Bowl with deer hunting. You know, it's just the roller coaster of deer hunting is just so, I find it just so much different than turkey hunting. And that's, I think that's why I enjoy it. And just the weather overall. I mean, typically it's, you can have cold turkey hunting, but I mean, you know, it's just, it's really enjoyable to be in the spring woods. And I take it for what it is with that, you know?
Yeah. I'll say this.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
It's hard to beat. Like there's certain scenarios in life where you wish you could be trapped. Like if this is my, what's that called? They say before you go to heaven, purgatory. If my purgatory is like these special moments, I could stay in purgatory forever, right? Like,
Right.
And one of those moments that I absolutely love is if I'm turkey hunting a certain weekend and it coincides when the morel mushrooms are popping, I'll tell you what, I love that combination. And then going into maybe like a farm pond after the hunt's over, trying to catch some panfish, and then creating a meal out of that. That is a moment. Those moments are what I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I love that too. Yeah, morel hunting is fun in the spring. I really enjoy doing that. And I feel like turkey hunting is just more of like in springtime events in general, like even shed hunting. You can involve your kids more in it, and it's just like, it's more enjoyable. And like you said, I'm the same way. When you get in that whitetail kill mode, you take your 3-4 days vacation to make a long 5-6 day weekend or something, you want to kill a deer.
Yep.
Like early season hunting, you know, maybe not so much, or you try to go and you think you can kill one, but realistically, I mean, late October and the rut is kill mode.
Yeah.
And then with turkey hunting, it's like, okay, yeah, I can involve my kids a little bit more. We can go fishing. We can go morel hunting. We can mess up on a turkey and it's not a big deal, or whatever it is.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we better get into talking about hunting gear and equipment here. Is there, like, as we were just having this little BS session, in the back of my head, I was thinking about all the turkey hunting gear that I have or don't have, and what I feel are products that are overrated and underrated and things like that. So I just want to start off with your shotgun. Do you bow hunt turkeys or do you shotgun hunt?
I use a shotgun.
Shotgun. Okay. Yeah. Same here. Yep. I don't know if I'm going to make it something easier, it's going to be turkey hunting. Like I like bow hunting for whitetails, but when it comes to the seasons and how they kind of lay out, I don't invest a lot of time. So bow hunting would mean I'd probably have to have a blind or build a blind. Shotgun hunting, I just got to aim and shoot. And so
exactly.
What kind of shotgun do you have?
Yeah. I have a Mossberg. I think it's like a model 535 or something like that. It takes up to like 3.5 inch. I typically use like a 3-inch load. I don't even know what shot I have, like 5 or 6, or to be honest, I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look. Yeah, it does the job. Like I have a nice, like little fiber optic sight on the front, you know. It's a good gun. I only got that one just a few years ago, but yeah, I'm with you with, I don't bow hunt for turkeys, and maybe someday I might do that. But to be honest, like, and maybe I'm just uninformed, but it kind of feels like whenever I watch bow hunting for turkeys, I kind of almost view it as like a little, not unethical. Well, I get, yeah, maybe like a little unethical, right? Because like those body shots, I think on a turkey, if I'm not mistaken, you have to be like really, like there's a kill zone. And then if you're missing that, you are like going to wound that bird.
Yeah. About the size of a baseball.
That's what it feels like that to me. In like, whereas deer hunting, obviously you got a large body cavity and you can kill a deer, you know, based on angle and all that. But with turkey hunting, man, I don't know. To me, it just almost like it's almost a touch unethical. And I just want to take a gun and be done with it. Yeah. And I enjoy shooting firearms. Like I rifle hunt for deer and I love shooting guns. My dad is kind of a gun nut. And so I enjoy like just shooting guns too. So I take a shotgun and call it good. And my Mossberg, it's nothing special. I think I spent like $300-$400 on it at like a local gun shop. And that's something too, where it's like, man, you see these guys with these crazy shotguns and obviously they got really good chokes on them for turkey hunting and all that. And maybe that's an area I'm just uninformed about too, but it just seems like people can go, you can go overboard with anything, right?
Yeah.
I have a really basic setup for shotgun turkey hunting.
Yeah. 12 or 20?
It's a 12 gauge, yeah.
12 gauge. I also have a Mossberg pump action, but it is a 20 gauge, and I have killed all but, I think the first year I borrowed my uncle's 12 gauge. And then after that, I got a 20 gauge, and I've killed a lot of turkeys with this. I mean, it's just the basic standard sight. It is, it does its job, man. And it slays. Now I will say this, the cool thing about it is that once I put a choke on it, it got even better. Okay, and I can extend my range and all the stuff that goes along with what a choke does to the pattern. And
yep.
I can remember a couple times before I put that choke on where I'd have a turkey and he's 20 yards in front of me and I pulled the trigger without the choke and I probably hit him, but I didn't hit him enough to kill him. And so I went and I shot it into a piece of like a refrigerator box, and my pattern was huge, absolutely huge at 20 yards. And so I was like, I better put a turkey choke on this. And then once that happened, then everything started falling in line. It became less about the weapon and more about my calling skills, trying to get him to come in. So,
yep. Yep.
When you take your kids, have you taken your kids out hunting to where they're the hunter yet?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. That's something I don't know. My 8-year-old, he'll be 9 in August, and he's still not going to go deer hunting this fall or turkey hunting or anything this spring. But I'm going to slowly – I learned to hunt by squirrel hunting, and I'm really biased towards, like, raising kids up that way. I don't know what it is. I think it's such a good way to introduce kids to hunting, because if you – you know, you certainly have to sit down and be patient to turkey – or to squirrel hunt. But if you spook a few or you miss one, wait an hour – or go to another spot and you're going to see more.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know. I think it's a really, really good way to introduce kids to hunting. It's how I learned to sit tight and be quiet, make good shots, because it's a small animal, right? And so, and a 22 that has no recoil. I just, like, one thing I'm not going to do is stick my kid with my 3.5-inch 12 gauge. Like, I was terrified of recoil when I was a kid. I was terrified. I think I cried maybe at when I was 8 or 9 years old and shot my dad's shotgun once. I remember we were shooting, we were kind of just walking around this field, and my dad kind of wanted to just introduce me to guns a little bit. I don't know what age I was, but I think I cried after shooting one of his huge 12 gauge, and it kicked so hard that I was like shocked.
Yeah.
At what happened. I was, and I'm like, ever since then, I'm like, nope, I am not doing, not to say my dad was super wrong to do that. It's just, I'm probably going to put my kid with a 20 gauge or even a 410. I know a lot of guys that are using those 410s with that like tungsten shot.
TSS.
And they're just, they're wiping out turkeys left and right.
Yep.
And I'm going to for sure pick up a 410 and do that when my kids start hunting. But no, we haven't. None of our kids have started hunting yet. I don't know if they fully understand it, and I want them to kind of grasp what they're actually doing before I just stick them with a weapon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, funny you say that. Last week, that was Tuesday last week, Wednesday last week, I bought a 410 for one reason, so my daughter didn't have the kick.
Yep.
Because she's still a little too small for even my 20 gauge. And so last year, I got a single shot 20 gauge, hoping it would kick a little less. And it didn't. It kicked maybe even a little harder than the Mossberg pump that I have. And so she would shoot it, but you could tell she was uncomfortable. You could tell that she was flinching before the trigger pull. And you know, that's not very good. So I went and I got this 410, and the guy who sold it to me at Shields was like, "Hey man, this thing will lay him down, right? Especially with the choke and the TSS." Now here's the issue that I have. I'm not a gun guy, but holy cow, ammunition is expensive. Five 410 shotgun shells for $40. They're the TSS, right? And so blows my mind that ammunition is that expensive.
It's crazy expensive. Yeah, that's the one drawback. And I think that tungsten, the TSS stuff, is extraordinarily high priced.
Yeah.
But other stuff is too. It's still expensive. Yeah.
Everything is expensive. Yeah, that's
And that's the one thing, like, with going back to like recoil and stuff, like, you don't want your daughter to like obviously develop bad habits. And man, I don't even enjoy shooting my 12 gauge. When I go shoot it a few times to pattern it in the spring, I hate it. I absolutely despise shooting that thing because it kicks so hard.
Yeah.
It's not that fun to shoot.
Yeah.
It's one thing that if anybody takes anything out of this, if you're getting kids into hunting, like, pick up a 410 or find something where it's not going to reduce that recoil, or get a bog pod or a Caldwell thing that they can stick it in, you know, to reduce that recoil. Cause man, it'll freaking scare kids. Cause it did me.
Yeah.
I was terrified of recoil, and I still don't enjoy it. You know?
Yeah. My wife won't even shoot. She's done turkey hunting. She did her 5 years like a prison sentence. She did her 5 years, and now she's not really interested in turkey hunting anymore. But I started her out with a 12 gauge, and that was a mistake. And then finally I got her into the 20, and she could handle that, which was nice. So,
nice.
Yeah. It's expensive. I'm looking forward to not only using that 410, but now that I have it, it's going to be great because now my oldest son, who's eight, my daughter's 11, my son, actually, he turns nine in April. And so he'll be he'll be shooting that gun as well. And I think what I'm going to do is exactly what you said. And I'm not only going to use it for turkey hunting, but I'm going to go out and pepper some small game too. I think that will, you know, walking around, kicking up a rabbit, shooting at, I don't know what, I'll have to look at the rules and regulations, but whatever moves, I'll shoot it if it's legal.
Yeah, for sure. Just getting kids out and getting them in the woods and just developing that sense for the woods. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think that's what a lot of kids are missing now. And a lot of like adults, like our age and stuff, are trying to get their kids into hunting. And I just, not that they're making a mistake, but I just question, like, what's the motivation here? Yeah. Like getting your kid out and just sticking them in a blind. He's sitting over a food plot during youth season and hey, shoot that deer, shoot that turkey. Mm. Well, have they really walked the woods and like kind of got like a, have they, sense, I don't know, kind of earned it in a sense. Yeah. Like there's a certain way I want my kids to be able to like, yeah, I want them to like do a little bit of the work and then, you know, gradually work your way up to deer. Let's shoot a couple rabbits or squirrels. And then let's get you this 410 in your hand. And if you show some patience, we'll go out turkey hunting and yep, maybe you can go in a couple hours late to school or something like that, where like, hey, you've kind of earned this instead of sticking a 5-year-old in a deer blind and a redneck and shooting a 150-inch deer. I don't know. I just, to me, some of that rubs me the wrong way, and it's just not the way I'm certainly going to raise my kids.
Yeah. Watch out, Paul. You're spitting fire now. People are going to, man, anytime I make a comment about how hunting is getting like almost too easy, whether it's on this podcast or one of my big pet peeves is setting a kid up on like a 170 and, yep, or, you know, set doing all the work. The kid comes in, they shoot it. And then from there, let's say they get old enough and dad goes away or uncle goes away. And now they're left to do it by themselves. They have no idea what they're doing because someone has set them up the entire time and has made it easy instead of doing what they should be doing. And that's teaching them the strategy and not necessarily just, hey, go sit here and this turkey's going to come by. So,
yeah, 100%. Yeah. I shouldn't spill my article ideas, but one of the articles I'm going to write this year for sure is touching on how you can make your hunt really easy if you want to. Mm-hmm. There's certain people, maybe not you or me, because we don't, if I'm right, you don't own your own land, right?
No, do not.
Yeah. So my parents have land, so I'm super grateful for that. And it's pretty good hunting, but I can't directly take control and influence my hunting. I could make the hunting really easy there if I wanted to, mm-hmm, if my dad would let me, or if like he would let me just take full control, I could make it pretty easy.
Yeah.
Like there are spots where I could post up, make a huge food plot right off the woods, and sit in a blind and go late season muzzleloader hunting and shoot a really nice buck every year.
Yeah.
Like that could happen. Yep. Not everybody can do that, but there are certain folks that, and this is another controversial thing, if you have a lot of money and you can buy these awesome properties, there are certain levels to which you can make your hunting really easy if you want to.
Yes.
That's a fact. Yeah. That is a fact. That's not debatable at all. Mm. And so like there's that like way of, you know, how do you want the hunt to transpire? You know, you can make it more challenging on yourself. Like I was actually at the Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic a couple weeks ago, and I ran into Jared Mills there. Awesome guy. Love Jared and love just the way he like almost challenges himself, right? Like he uses, you know, stick and string, a long bow or whatever he uses to try to hunt, and sits on the ground sometimes and, you know, still passes giant deer. And he doesn't use like a ton of cell cams, and he like purposely kind of makes the hunt more challenging on himself. And I like respect the heck out of that. And so people like that, I can get behind. And, you know, some of the stuff going on, like just in the industry, it's, I don't know. It's, yeah, there are certain levels and ways you can make your hunt easier or harder. And hey, I don't blame people for making it easy. I mean, if my dad or my parents would let me take control 100% of their property and let me do anything I wanted to, I would do it all. Because I would want to make my hunt easier. So I'm not saying those people are bad at all.
Right.
I would probably go ahead and do a lot of those things. But I had a dream
the other day, or not the other day, like the other month. It's been a while since I've had it, but I won the lottery in my dream, and I bought this gigantic farm, but I didn't allow any type of ground blinds on it. I didn't allow any gun hunting on it, and that all tree stands had to be put up the day of the hunt. And I don't know. I don't know why it's like it, I was in this.
That's a really specific dream.
I know it was. It was crazy. It was like I had a list. There was people that I was like it was on the wall, and I was pointing at the wall, and I go, "Here are the rules if you want to hunt my property." And then I went through and listed them, and then I don't know. It was just a really weird dream, but it's probably not that far off of what would actually happen, because I think it would be cool to have zero intel about anything and then just get a farm, maybe do some habitat work on it, and then end up turning and then forgetting about it, like not hunting it for a whole year, maybe 2 years, and then that third year going in blind and trying to see what's all in there. I don't know, that's off topic, but all right. More turkey hunting gear. We've talked about our shotguns and things like that. Do you have any piece of turkey hunting gear that is turkey specific, or is most of the gear that you're using kind of cross over into deer hunting as well?
Yeah, a lot of it crosses over, but I do. Last year I did, or 2 years ago, I bought a nice turkey vest. I think it's like an older, like Knight and Hale.
Okay.
I don't even know. Are they still like in business? But I found one on Amazon and I got it, and it's a really nice one. I love that turkey vest.
Yeah.
Knight and Hale, I think, is who makes it. But yeah, it's honestly, it's a really good way to stay organized. I do carry like a backpack with me because I'll put some of my bigger stuff in there and food and snacks and stuff. But I really do like having all the pockets handy and stuff like that. I haven't mastered like a mouth call yet.
Yeah.
And so I'm still using like old school calls that I got from like learn to hunt back in the day. Like honestly I am, and they sound great, and they call in turkeys, and man, I don't know. I don't see much of a reason to change from that, but yeah. So besides like obviously a turkey specific shotgun, a turkey vest, a couple decoys here and there. Like, yeah, I haven't invested too much into like turkey hunting. I just haven't found the need to really.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. I mean, other than I have a turkey, it's a hybrid. It's currently it's a turkey. It's like a vest backpack, but it has a steel frame in it. So when I sit down, I don't have to be against a tree. I can lean. It's like two L bars in it, so I can lean back and relax in it. And I've had that for Lord. I want to say like 15 years. It was one of the first things I bought. I mean, I think I probably bought it like somewhere around 2004, 2005, somewhere in that time frame. And I still have it. There's a couple broken zippers on it. I mean, it's definitely well used, but it allows me to carry my decoys in it. It allows me to carry all my food. I believe it's a Cabela's brand. I think I bought it online from Cabela's all that time ago, or at a Cabela's discount shop or something like that. Anyway, it's a Cabela's brand, and it allows me to carry everything I need. It's got a little pouch for my shotgun shells, and it's got a pouch for my mouth calls that I never use. And so I, just like you, all I use is slate calls. Is just I get them, try to get them as close as possible, and then I shut up, and then if they come in,
set them down.
Get
your gun, get ready. Yeah, I still, you know what I love is using the Quaker Boy Yelper, the push
button.
Oh
yeah,
Yelper.
The push button one.
Dude, I love that, because what I don't like about when they're getting in close and you want to keep them coming, like using a slate, obviously two-handed, and you try to keep your gun up on your knee or something.
Yep.
I love the Yelper because I can hold my gun maybe with my right or left hand up on my elbow, and then just with one hand use that push button Yelper.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I love that thing.
Yeah.
People are going to laugh and think that is so stupid, but man, it gets the job done. I love that thing.
Yeah. Well, they used to have, I'm pretty sure they still have it, but that Yelper used to have a gun attachment to it where you could I don't know if it's the brand you're thinking of, but there was you could put it on your gun, and with your hand that you're holding it, you could hit the button on it or the stick on it, and it would make the noise. So that way you could have two hands on your gun at all time. I've never been good at using a mouth call. And I can remember 1 year I practiced quite a bit, and I was still like spitting it out of my mouth when I was trying to get too aggressive, and turkeys would run away. And I can remember my uncle going, man, hey, why don't you stick to that slate call and let me do, and then I'll do the rest.
Yeah, a nice way of saying you totally suck.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So other than turkey calls, I mean, all of my clothing is all crossover, right? I don't wear camo pants. Usually I wear like these thick denim, like Dickies, or the brand that I like to use is Arborwear. Or Huntworth has a couple pair of solid color pants that are really durable.
Yep.
And so I look for really durable things, cause you're walking through a lot of thorns or, you know, sharp, yep, sticky things. And, I want that,
for sure.
I want that durability, for that. But then the tops, any camo, it's deer hunting camo, right?
And yeah.
So,
yeah. Same here. Yeah. I have a Sitka, like, for really warm turkey hunts, because actually with the spot I hunt up here by Green Bay, it's really good the week before Memorial Day, like really good, because it just gets tall grass and there's bugs everywhere, you know. And I love my Core lightweight hoodie from Sitka.
Yep.
And the pattern, I love that Optifade subalpine pattern for turkey hunting. That is a sweet pattern. But this year I have some of that Coda Silence stuff. You've heard of them, right?
Yeah, dude. I've looked at some of their stuff and it looks pretty cool.
I love their pattern, and I have first season turkey hunting. I have a first season up here, and then I have that week before Memorial Day, and I love the Coda Silence stuff. It's whitetail gear, but it's going to look really good in the early season turkey woods where there's no green yet.
Yep.
I'm super excited to wear that stuff. I
need an honest opinion out of you though. Okay. You tell me the truth. I like their gear, but the fabric that's on it, does it pick up every single thing, like burrs, thorns?
Yes.
It does. Yeah. See, man,
it does.
I love it, but man, that's a huge like turnoff. That's why I don't wear those Sitka fleece pants anymore.
Yep, the Fanatic. Yeah, it collects everything for sure. It does. You know what I'm going to try, though? I was at the Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic a couple weeks ago. The Burr Paw.
Oh, yeah, I need to pick one of those up. My buddy Byron Horton, he keeps telling me, dude, you got to pick up the Burr Paw. I got one, and it works on all your clothes. I just haven't bought one yet.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
Okay, so I bought one. They had a show special, and I bought one. And my wife's like, you idiot. What are you doing? Like, she didn't actually say that. She's probably thinking it. But it was like only $20. And I'm like, screw it. I'm going to give this thing a try. I've seen a lot of reviews. I think it popped up as like a sponsored ad once on Facebook or Instagram. Like, dang, that's cool. So I bought one and I'm going to use that. But yes, the Coda Silence stuff does. It attracts a lot of burrs, and it's a pain for sure.
Yeah.
So there's like that give and take of staying ridiculously warm, but also coming back looking like a burr. You know?
I feel you
for sure.
Okay. Decoys. Do you use decoys? Do you have any favorite decoys?
I laugh because I have no idea if decoys are hurting or helping my hunting.
Understood.
I don't have. I should, you know what I should do is probably find like a ridiculously good turkey hunter in the Green Bay area and go with one. So if somebody's listening to this and they want to take me turkey hunting and guide me, they should probably do it, because I can't, I'm terrible with reading body language of turkeys to find out if the decoys are hurting or helping. Mm-hmm. Yes, I usually do use decoys. I have like a half strut Jake from Avion X, and then a flambeau, like looking like lookout hen or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's what I typically use. And yeah. I do have a full strut Tom too.
Yeah.
So I'll use those. I don't know. I've never like experienced the turkeys running up and like destroying the decoys and pecking at. I've never like had that.
Yeah.
I'm sure I will sometime, but I just haven't probably turkey hunted enough to experience that. But I don't know. Maybe my birds are really pressured and don't. But yes, I usually do use decoys.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you how serious. Well, take this with a grain of salt, because I own a, what is it? It's a flex tone full strut Tom, and then I have two hen decoys that are, man, they're like 10, 15 years old as well, right? I mean, they have holes. Yep. They have holes in them where the Tom got too close to the decoy, or the Tom came up, the decoy was in my line to the Tom, and I pulled the trigger, and you know, some of these decoys have actually been shot a couple times. And so I ended up buying that flex tone to see what would happen. And I don't know. I think if I had to guess that the decoys actually help the turkeys come in, but I feel like the margin or the percentage is way smaller. Like, yes, I believe it helps, but just by this much, right? Like, yeah. If they're henned up, there's nothing you can do to change their mind.
And I think if you have to get that like dominant Tom, like if he sees it and he's not with a hen, he's probably coming.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, from my experience, from seeing and hearing and talking to other people, like, I just have yet to, you know, apparently run into a really dominant Tom. But I would say there's certain situations where I haven't taken them. Mm-hmm. And I've been like, gall darn it, if I had my decoys,
would that have helped? Would it have?
Yeah. You know, I know. And then there's that positioning of, you know, if you expect them to come from this direction, you want to set it way over to this way, because if they hang up, then they're still in your zone, you know.
Yep.
So there's all that too, and that's, I'm still like trying to learn all that, which is really fun. But it can be kind of frustrating, and it's like, man, am I doing the wrong thing, or is this truly, am I headed down the right path or not?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just kind of tough to know, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I tell the story every turkey season. You remember Todd Prignitz, right? From White Knuckle Productions. All right. So he was mowing his ditch one day, and he hit a turkey decoy that someone threw in the ditch. And so it was literally chopped. I mean, it was almost chopped in half. And so a couple of days after that, I filmed him hunt this 7 or 8 bearded Tom come in. And at the time, it was the largest turkey ever killed with the largest atypical turkey ever killed with a bow. It was crazy. Oh, but it came in to this jalopy of a call. I mean, it was a decoy. And we had an arrow sticking all the way through it, so it would slide down as the day or the wind would hit it. It would slide down to the ground. But it came in and he shot it. And so
that's crazy.
It just kind of tells me that you could probably get a black ball and put it in the middle of a field, like one of those workout balls, and they would come into it.
Yep. For sure. I know. And that's the frustrating part too, right?
Yeah.
Is you like, you spend all this, or, you know, I don't spend a ton of money, but people spend all this money on, you know, DSD decoys and all these other things. And those are probably help in most cases, but yeah, you're right. You could probably put a bowling ball in the middle of a black bowling ball in the middle.
Dude, would you like, I'm just going to ask you would this interest you? I have turkey fans in my garage, like three of them that I don't have hung up on a wall. If I somehow attached a turkey fan to a bowling ball and set it in there, do you think I could call in a Tom into that decoy and shoot him?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, dude, I got to do it. I got to find a used black bowling ball now.
Yeah, I think we're on to something. I think you probably could.
Challenge accepted, right? Challenge accepted.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Make a video out of it or something. I want to see it.
Yeah.
Sure, it'd work.
Yeah, and so, like, decoys are good. I have them just because I have them. I'm not sure if I'm doing them right. I don't know how. I mean, just like everybody has written, including yourself and me, we've written articles about how to hunt deer during the rut, how to do this, how to, you know, like all that stuff. And I'm sure if you go out and you do your research, you can find articles and videos about all this turkey hunting strategy. But for the guys that are just like, I just don't care. Like, I love turkey hunting now, but I just don't care about the other stuff that goes along
for sure
with it. So.
And I think the problem with, like, a lot of these things that I've written about and you have too is there's always caveats to it, right?
Right.
And then at the end of the article, you always have like a disclaimer almost that says, depending on your situation, you know, like, and that's what's tricky, is because it literally does depend on your situation.
Yeah.
And so you can take all this advice, but, like, if you have really high pressured birds, or if you have this factor or that factor influencing your turkey hunting, or I don't know, there's caveats to all of it. There's advice that's really good, but sometimes it's not always going to be 100% applicable to your situation, which makes it tricky. That's where you have to just go out and fail and succeed and do things on your own too, you know?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Are there any other products as far as turkey hunting is concerned that you want to talk about or bring up?
Oh man, I don't know. Blinds is always like, right? Turkey hunting in a blind can almost be like cheating
sometimes
when it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes.
Because there's, I have not had good luck turkey hunting in a blind. And this isn't like some odd topic that I'm bringing up or like some new product that somebody wouldn't think about, but I just wanted to like bring it up because I have not had good luck turkey hunting in a blind. Now maybe I have so there's a lot of birds where I hunt, but maybe they're super pressured and like accustomed to not like wanting to come into blinds because they get shot. I don't know if they think like that. I don't know if they're that smart. They probably aren't.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just bad, but I always have more success when I'm just tucked in the ground, like hidden away, just in the weeds, you know what I mean? Like I'm not going to be seen at all. And so, I don't know, I go back and forth whether I want to use blinds or not. And this year, I don't think I'm going to.
No.
Mainly because one blew away and broke.
Yeah.
But, and I don't want to spend the money on a new one. But that's something I go back and forth with too, just like decoys, is whether to sit in a blind or not, you know. And I kind of want it to, I just like sitting up against a tree too, you know. It feels more...
I feel constricted intimate. I feel constricted in a blind.
Yeah.
I can't see much.
Yeah. I don't know. You're just not out in the fresh air and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I one thing I didn't bring up about my gun that I was a requirement for me when I bought a shotgun is it had to be a camo gun.
Oh,
my dad swore by, like, not, he just was highly encouraging me, like, you should get a camo gun. Those things can see a shiny, don't take an Aquafina water bottle with you because they're going to freaking see that from 400 yards away. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can overstate it how well they see. And so that was something I for sure wanted, a camo gun. I didn't want that shiny blue of the gun to be sticking out. You know what I mean? And so that's something that you know, it could be overrated too, but I don't know. I've gotten busted by turkeys when I was younger, and I'm like, did I even move? You know what I mean? They just see so well, and some of them are really, really spooky.
Yeah. I don't have a camo gun, and I still have.
You're probably fine.
Oh yeah, right. And I've smoked a ton of turkey with them, and
Yeah.
I don't know. We always give them, we always give the animals that we hunt way too much credit, but I will say this, that I get frustrated by deer, but I get really frustrated by turkey, especially if they're close, but they're not coming the rest of the way in. I have a one spot in particular where I was, you know, I'd sit down, it's in the woods, and I watch them. What they do is they roost in this old oak stand on a different property. They walk through this cattle pasture, and then they make their way onto the property that I hunt. And I'm right there on the fence line, and I'm, you know, trying to cut them off before they get into the other set of woods. And I don't know how many times I've been so close, and they just hold up right outside of range, you know, clear shot. Yeah. They just need 10 or more yards. And I just get frustrated. And it's not because it's just, I think it's because I've put all this energy to do something that I don't really care if it works out or not, but it's so close. Yeah. And then I don't know.
No, it's so true, because like with big deer, you don't just go out and see them every time you hunt. So there's not that frustration. It's almost like a, man, you know, I'm going to give it my best effort. I'm probably realistically probably not going to see this giant buck. Mm-hmm. But with turkey hunting, you see turkeys pretty much every, I mean, at least I do. Like, I'm lucky to see turkeys pretty much every time I go, and they're right there. And it's just, they're not quite close enough, but you have a taste in your, like, you can almost taste mm-hmm. it and feel it. They get them, but you don't. And so then it makes it more frustrating. Whereas deer hunting, like I said, at least sometimes you feel like you stand no chance. And so you're in your mind, you almost convince yourself like, probably not going to see him anyway. So
right.
Might as well accept that fact. Mm-hmm. At least like I try not to let that creep in, but sometimes that's the case. Right.
Right.
But with turkeys, they're right there and they're hanging up 10 more yards out of range. And you know, that's what can be really frustrating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I'm trying to think. Usually when I go turkey hunting, the bugs aren't too terribly bad. Now I have been where the ticks are, out, and I have had times when I've gotten chiggers real bad. So I am going to make sure that this year I spray down my clothes with permethrin and make sure that I'm like, this is no joke, on my shins, like below my knees to my ankles, from setting trail cameras this past, I think it was August.
Yeah.
I went into a property and set a whole bunch of trail. It could have been July. Dude, I still have scars on my legs from chigger bites. And I don't want that anymore. I've been too lazy with that. I got to treat my clothes.
Yep. That's my mom got chiggers really bad hunting or camping a couple years ago. And now when I'm hunting, I bought a bunch of that Sawyer, like the red, it's a yellow and black bottle, the Sawyer brand permethrin.
Yeah.
I've been spraying my clothes for turkey hunting. I don't love to do it just cause I use some of that stuff for deer hunting. So typically I'll just do like the bottom of my pants, like at areas where they would maybe crawl into or latch onto.
Yeah.
So like certain parts of my pants or my sleeves and stuff like that. But I've heard some serious horror stories of like ticks and all that. And yeah, I do not want any part of that. So if I'm, you know, I don't know, I'm extra cautious about that now, especially that since I have kids, it just, you know, it just changes your that on some stuff. And when I take them, like their clothes are going to get sprayed, and I let them sit out and dry. And then they say they can go through like 3 or 4 washing cycles and still stay active in the clothing, you know? So yeah, that's something I forgot to bring up, that I definitely use permethrin.
Yeah. Outside of that, I mean, my turkey hunting gear list is very short, right? I got 2 slate calls that are tied together by an old boot lace. I have 1 striker that I use for both of them. I have a 20 gauge pump Mossberg, and now I have a 410 that my kids will use. And I have a couple old decoys. That's it. Like I don't have a garage full of turkey hunting stuff like I have deer hunting stuff.
Yeah, same here. One thing I forgot to bring up about clothing is I really like wearing a face mask.
Yep.
For bow hunting and turkey hunting. Yeah. And that's just a visibility thing. Like I'm kind of a freak about wearing a face mask. Yep. I still have like an early season scent lock suit that I wear for turkey hunting. I think scent lock makes like the best face mask for hunting, turkey hunting, whatever. Like you can have, it has that cord that you can tighten on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I love that thing. So that's one thing I don't ever go to the turkey woods without is that face mask. Whether I'm wearing like a different brand out, upper and lower, I always bring that face mask with me. I love that thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than, you know, the basics, like I'm super, super simple when it comes to turkey hunting. And I just take, you know, the same gear every year, and that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm not spending a fortune on turkey hunting gear. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think it's just one hoodie from Huntworth, but it's got the built-in face cover for it.
Nice.
Dude, that makes it so easy when it's built right in. That Apex hoodie that you have, I think it has a built-in face guard in it too. By the way, if anybody here hunts Michigan public land and has run into a Apex hoodie from Sitka with a my tags and license in it, I lost that a handful of years ago when I was bow hunting Michigan. And I lost that Apex hoodie walking out of the timber one night, and so it's out there in public land somewhere. So you can keep it. I just want to know who found it.
You just want closure.
Yeah, I want some closure.
It's displayed in somebody's hunting mantle. Like I have Dan Johnson's. They have like the Nine Figure Chronicles logo, and they have it printed on their like trophy wall. Look what I found! I got Dan Johnson's Ditka hoodie.
That's
Can you
funny.
Believe it?
That's funny. Well, outside of that, man, this is a very low-key episode when it comes to what you're going to learn about hunting gear and equipment. Turkey hunting, I don't take it serious. Therefore, my gear is not as serious, but I still have a lot of fun going out, especially now that I'm taking my kids out. So any closing thoughts, Paul?
No, I would just encourage everybody to, you know, everybody listening is probably a pretty hardcore deer hunter too. Just go out and have fun and enjoy the woods. And yeah, I mean, that's what I try to do. I try to keep it low key for turkey hunting, and I should probably try to do the same with deer hunting. But yeah, good luck out there to everybody. And yeah, didn't teach you much today, but
we had a good time. It's a good anyway.
Go out there, have fun, and shoot straight.
All right. Take care, man. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan. Always good to chat.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.